If you want to open up your Bibles, you can. We're going to be in the book of Genesis. We're going to be covering the true and better Joseph. And so in this, we're going to be looking at several pictures in Joseph's life. He's basically about 10 chapters in Genesis. I'm obviously not going to do an exegesis of 10 chapters in the next 40 minutes. So realize we will skip around and we'll cover more of a narrative of what goes on. My intro will cover several things that goes on just to set up the story. There's a lot of facts that I could have thrown in there and a lot more detail I could have given, but I don't think I'd ever get done with the sermon if I did so. So I would challenge you to read those chapters. It's basically Genesis 40 through 50. And to do that this week and see what areas I may have missed or areas that God could show you, because the same Holy Spirit works in me through His Word works in you. And so there may be some great things that we can delight in that He can show you that perhaps you won't hear today. And there may be some of those things He showed me this week through this that you don't need to hear today either. So realize as I come to the Scriptures, I come like you do. Those who have been bought by the blood of Jesus, I stand here a sinner saved by the same grace that saved you. And so there's going to be errors and weakness, but there's things that He points out through Scripture in each of our lives and hearts and His timing. So I'll pray He'll do that as you read this week as well. So let's jump in. Joseph was when the story starts, he's 17 years old. He's the 11th son of Jacob. And at this time, he had these dreams. Now, the only problem with his dreams is he was already the favorite. So Daddy Jacob already really had displayed that he was the special son to him. And so the other brothers, and I don't know if you grew up with brothers or if you have multiple kids and have boys in the house, but boys can be pretty harsh on each other. I'll just let you know that. If you have all girls, come to my house and you'll learn. But the truth of the matter is boys can kind of pick at each other. And to have a favorite in the midst of that, and then in the midst of, at this point, 11 brothers, you can imagine that he was a tough kid. Because he'd have to be. But in this, he was set up as his dad's favorite. And then at this point, 7 years old, he had these dreams. And it was the dreams that he was elevated and that all his brothers were worshiping him or bowing down to him. And so in that, he messed up in sharing his dream with them, who were already jealous, already had some issues with what was going on, and it caused greater jealousy and possibly some incredible anger. It doesn't say anger, but as we know what anger does in the hearts of men, what ends up is anger personified. So his brothers, from this jealousy, grew angry and they plotted to kill him. So they lead him out to a desolate place, and one of the brothers stands up and says, no, let's not actually kill him. We'll just throw him in a cistern. So they do that. And then these Ishmaelites come walking up. And he says, hey, tell you what. They come together, the brothers say, let's sell him to them as a slave. And then we'll take his garment and we'll kill an animal and put the blood on it. And then take that back to our dad. And he'll think that he got killed by an animal. And this issue of our jealousy and him being the favorite son will go away. Now, I just want to let you know, I'm going to kind of plot Stealer for you here. I'm going to ruin it. His dad has another son after this, who's now the youngest, who also gets back. So their plan already, just to let you know, it didn't work for the reasons that they did it. And just a freebie here, very rarely does our anger work in our favor. That was a freebie. Wasn't part of the sermon, but now it is. All right, they put him in a cistern, sold him for silver to the Ishmaelites as a slave. They convinced Jacob that he'd been killed. The Ishmaelites take him, and then they turn around and they sell him to Potiphar as a slave. And so Potiphar has him as a slave, yet as a slave, he is so good at serving his master that he slowly takes on the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Literally becomes, he's head over everything that goes on that Potiphar owns, even his entire household. Everything except for what food Potiphar will eat, Joseph was in charge of. The Lord blessed him and gave him great favor, no matter what the circumstances were. And what happened was, during this time, who he was very attractive. And then also, he was a handsome and well-built man, and Potiphar's wife desired him. And so she tried to trick him into some issues. He ran. In running, she took his garment as he ran off. And she claimed that he had some wrongdoing with her, even though he did not. So he was wrongfully accused, and when Potiphar returned and heard the claims, Joseph was imprisoned for what he did not do. Just a quick, easy glimpse here. There's a guy 2,000 years ago who was wrongfully accused and imprisoned. His name was Jesus. He who had done nothing wrong, yet not only a person, but the entire crowds placed him wrongfully accused, and he was in prison for that. So Joseph goes to prison. In prison, he's an upstanding prisoner. Like, everything he touches, the Lord blesses. Everything he did, everybody saw how great of a man he was, and so they would move him into more control, more control, more control. And this is in every area of his life, no matter the circumstance. That was a freebie for all of us too, as we seek the Lord and do what is right, no matter our circumstances. I'm not saying this is a formula that God will bless you, because you may be in prison, you may be sold as a slave, you may be thrown in a cistern, you may have people plot to kill you. I'm not saying it's going to work out your way. But I am saying, no matter the circumstance, God has blessed you. No matter the circumstances in this life. Because there's a future glory that he's blessed you for. A life, death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus. So he's in prison. And these two guys, the king gets mad at, because they, one was his cupbearer and one was his baker. So he sends them to prison. And they're actually under Joseph's control in the prison, because he's been elevated in control, in that he was basically working in the prison while a prisoner, because they could trust him so much because of how good of a man he was. And so these two guys have dreams, and they say, we don't know how to interpret these dreams. And so they ask Joseph. Joseph comes to one of them, and he says, he was the cupbearer, and he says, well, what your dream is, and in 3 days, you'll be elevated back into your royal position. And so because that dream interpretation was favorable, then the baker comes and says, man, interpret mine for me. He says, well, the interpretation of your dream, that in 3 days you'll be impaled by a pole to your dead. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm kind of on the team of the baker here. Like, maybe I'd wait. I might have waited for a few more interpretations and maybe look at the odds and percentages before I... Both things came true. And Joseph told the cupbearer, he said, when you're back in your kingdom, in your position, will you remember me? And so later, Pharaoh has these dreams, and he can't understand them. And he gathers people around, and no one can interpret these dreams. And then at this point, the cupbearer remembers Joseph in prison. Said there was a guy there who could interpret dreams. He brings him in. He interprets to Pharaoh his dreams. And the results of those dreams were that for 7 years, there will be a great time of feasting. There will be plenty in all the land, followed by 7 years of great famine. And so he talks to him, and he says, well, what should we do in that? He said, well, what you need to do is you need to have someone in control who's be sure in the time of feasting that you pull aside a portion of all that is there and save it for the time when famine comes. This is also a great principle for all of us, because we too go through feasts and famine in life. And so to save and to prepare are good things. And so in this, Pharaoh said, well, who do I have among us who's got enough wisdom to do this? So they start looking around, and they're like, well, how about the guy who came up with the idea? And so he brings Joseph in, and he gives him great control in his kingdom. Actually, we're going to read in a second, he makes him so powerful, the Pharaoh does, of the kingdom, that he's basically second to the Pharaoh. Now, realize this is a guy who at 17 had this dream. He was the 11th son of Jacob. Brothers got so angry, they plotted to kill him, sold him as a slave. Those people sold him as a slave to the next guy, wrongfully accused in prison by that guy's wife. And now he's a leader, second over all of Egypt for the Pharaoh. Do you think some of his dreams coming true? Not yet. But we will look further. Genesis 41, we'll start verse 39. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. If not, it will be on the screen behind me. You can follow along that way. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all the people are submit to your orders. Only respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Verse 41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. The people shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. Okay, just another side note. And I love some of these things. So he was a slave who became second line to the king. Do you notice the age he was? He was 30 years old. Just a side note, we have this guy who was king of kings, who at 30 years old started his public ministry. Jesus. That's when Jesus came across Joseph baptizing, and when literally his pronouncing of his public proclamation of the gospel began. And so here Joseph, at 30 years old, entered the service of Pharaoh. Jesus, at 30 years old, entered the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Genesis 41, verse 56 to 57. When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere. And so they've gone through the 7 years of feasting, 7 years of great blessing from God, and now they're in this period of time of 7 years of famine. Now realize, because of the interpretation of the dream and great faithfulness to pull aside a portion every year during those 7 years, there is a multitude of grain to be there. So much so, not only to take care of Pharaoh and people of his kingdom, but in all of Egypt, they're able to turn around and sell the what is plenty now, so that during this time of famine, all may live. Chapter 42, verse 1 through 5. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, why do you just keep looking at each other? He continued, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us, so we may live and not die. Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others, because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain, for there was famine in the land of Canaan also. Now, you hear 10 brothers. What was Joseph? He was the 11th son. Which means Jacob has actually had an additional son, Benjamin, who's now the youngest, who I referred to in the beginning. And so he's saying, all of you go, but I'm keeping Benjamin at home. And it's almost this extra protection. And I understand it. You know, if I have lost a son, I would be very careful with what my youngest son went through as well. I can understand the grief, the despair, the hurt, the bereavement that would go into that. And so I can see how he'd want to protect the younger one. However, he is showing special attention to the younger one again. When it says Israel's sons, recognize that these are 12 sons. These are representative of the 12 tribes of Israel. This is an entire Jewish nation that we're referring to as Jacob's sons. That's a freebie that we'll see play out in the future throughout the Bible. But so he says, go, buy some grain. Who's over the grain? Joseph is. So who are the 10 sons going to go try to buy grain from now? The boy that they plotted to kill, that they sold into slavery, and tried to cover up as if he was dead before their father. Verse 6 and 7 of chapter 42 of Genesis. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the person who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. Do you remember his dream? They would bow down and worship him. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them. He pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. Where do you come from? He asked. From the land of Canaan, they replied, to buy food. Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. He remembered his dreams about them and said to them, you are spies. You have come to see where our land is unprotected. No, my lord, they answered. Your servants have come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. Your servants are honest men, not spies. No, he said to them, You have come to see where our land is unprotected. But they replied, your servants were 12 brothers, the sons of one man who lived in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and one is no more. Now, I want to let you know, there's nothing in Scripture thus far that said that Joseph knew that he had a younger brother. Now, and they said in the section we read earlier, said that this was his brother. The reason why it's specified is because these 12 sons were to three different women. But the only one who is truly from his father and his mother is Benjamin. And so literally he just found news, one, that they've reported that he no longer exists. And so at this point, he may have known this before, but it is not vivid in Scripture, that he realized that they believe he's dead. Not just sold to slavery, but dead. And also that there's another brother he's never even met. But he has a little brother. So here's what he did. He puts them in custody for 3 days. I would say that 3 days is important. We'll cover that more later. On the third day, Joseph said to them, do this and you will live, for I fear God. Now I want to say that if I were Joseph, and I want you to put yourself in his position for a minute, if my brothers had done that to me, and now they come starving to me to buy food so they can survive, how would I respond to them? Would I pull it from them? Would I not allow them to survive? Would I try to make them my slaves since they sold me to slavery? Would I plot to kill them because they plotted to kill me? Would I throw them in a cistern? Would I abandon them because they abandoned me? Truth is here Joseph, a leader and a servant, gives grace to these men, his brothers. You say, wait a minute, he just put them in prison. Yeah, he did. He didn't sell them to slavery, he didn't plot to kill them. It was grace that he didn't kill them. It was grace that he didn't sell them to slavery. See, too often we picture grace as only incredibly good things that happen to us. But it's also when we don't get what we deserve. So he was gracious to them. Why? He says, do this and you will live, for I fear God. Some of you at this point say, well, Joseph's an awesome dude. But if we make Joseph the hero, we miss the real hero. He did this not because he was that generous or that awesome of a guy, but because he feared God. He had a right perspective of who God was and how God had treated him in the midst of terrible circumstances. Do you imagine how much he's learned and grown from 17 years old to in his 30s now, walking through the trouble and hardships he had to go through? You see, I do believe very clearly, James chapter 1, where God says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because the testing of your faith must develop perseverance. So you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so, there was a great work that God had done in his life. And his result was, I should just kill you. No. The result was, I fear God, do this and you will live. Verse 19, if you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison while the rest of you go and take grain back for your starving households. But you must bring your youngest brother to me so that your words may be verified and that you may not die. This they proceeded to do. They said to one another, surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us. Now recognize that not only are they seeing the distress and reminded of it that their brother went through when they did what they did to him, when they did what they did to Joseph, but it's almost this is why we're having to go through this. There's almost this attitude of sorrow for what they have done. This idea that God has now worked full course and now we're at the mercy of somebody else. when he was at the mercy of us. And we see his distress, and now we're in that same distress. Genesis 42, verse 24. He turned away from them and began to weep. This is Joseph. But then came back and spoke to them again. He had Simeon take from them and bound before their eyes. Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain, to put each man's silver back in his sack, and to give them provisions for their journey. After this was done for them, they loaded their grain on their donkeys and left. Now, a neat, incredible truth here is that he still had a love for his brothers. He's found out he's got a younger brother. He literally is trying to be hard on them, yet at the same time is weeping over having to be difficult for them. You see, I do believe that while God loves us with an everlasting love that is unique for every person for whom he sent Jesus to the cross for, there is great weeping by him as he has to judge sin harshly. For he is a righteous judge and a loving father at the same time. Yet, there is a hurt in his heart as he judges. We saw that in Genesis chapter 6, when he literally says, when he saw how wicked man's sin on the earth has become, he was grieved to his heart that he had even made man on the earth. Verse 25, Joseph gave orders, fill their bags of grain, put each man's silver back in his sack. You're saying, wait a minute. They came with silver to buy the provisions. And now he's sending them back with all the provisions and gave them provisions for the journey. Even loaded their grain on the donkeys, send them, yet the money they brought to pay for it, he sent back with them. So he literally gave them the provisions for free. I think it's amazing the item that they're trying to pay for it with happens to be silver, the same thing that they sold him for to the Ishmaelites. Chapter 43, verse 1 and 2. Now the famine was still severe in the land, so when they had eaten all the grain they had bought from Egypt, their father said to them, "Go back and buy us a little more food." Now, there's some section of scripture in there where basically they come back and they tell their father, "We must go back. We got to take your younger son." And he says, "No." He said, "I'm not willing to lose another son over this." And they said, "Well, he gave us the silver back, and maybe this is a test to see if we'll return it." He says, "No, you can't go." But then when they go through all of the grain that they had bought, and now they're looking at impending death from having no other grain to survive. Now the father says, "Go back and buy us a little more food." Verse 11 through 14, Genesis 43. Then the father said to them, "If it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm, a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, I am bereaved. I am bereaved." So one of his sons is still there in prison. And now he's saying, y'all do take your younger brother Benjamin with you. Take all these things. Take double the amount that you had before, to repay them for the first amount and to buy more, go back. But yet, his heart is broken over this decision. Now, I love what he says this. He says, "Go and do it at once, and may God Almighty grant you mercy." Is he trusting in the mercy of this man? He's not. He's sending them back trusting that God will have mercy. So he sends them back. Verse 26 through 30. When Joseph came home, they presented him the gifts they had brought into the house, and they bowed down before him to the ground. What are we seeing? Yet another dream came true. He asked them how they were, and they said, How is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living? They replied, your servant, our father, is still alive and well. And they bowed down, prostrating themselves before him. As he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked, is this your youngest brother, the one who you told me about? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, make everyone go out from me. So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will neither be plowing nor harvest. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. So in these verses, we see that he's being merciful. That he sees this not for their detriment. He's not coming to them saying, I can't believe you do this to your own brother. He's not being haughty. He's not being arrogant. He's not saying, oh, you sold me a slavery, but look who I am now. Now you're bowing down. That's not me and my brothers would be. But he's being humble. He's being before them saying, this is not about you and this is not about me. The only problem is today in the church, we still don't get that truth. What he says is, it's about what God is doing. Not what you have done, not what I have done, but God sent me here to save the masses. You sacrifice me as a slave for your own anger, for your own jealousy, for your own rights in my father's house, yet God intended it for good, that he would use me to save many. The true and better Joseph is Jesus, who we placed a crown of thorns on, who we robed in purple garment, spat at, laughed at, beat, crucified. A thief's death. And I could almost hear Jesus saying what Joseph was saying. You meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. That by my suffering, he would save many. Jesus is the true and better Joseph. Joseph pays the price for the grain. Joseph pays the price through the servanthood that he lived his life for, so that he could provide relief and deliverance for the land of Egypt. Jesus is true and better, Joseph, because he paid the ultimate price by living a whole entire life of servanthood. Taking on the very nature of a man, becoming a servant, becoming obedient even to death on a cross. And he paid the ultimate price, not just to provide grain for us, not just to keep us from physically dying, but to give us eternal life by his blood shed on the cross. Joseph is truly the true and better. Jesus is truly the true and better Joseph. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 through 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, so let me fill in. He basically brings everything they own, the livestock, the family, the servants, his father. He brings them and places them on prime land in Egypt to take care of them. He's provided for them not just grain to survive, but a place to live in great abundance. And in this time, not only that, but his father comes and blesses his own sons. They live in plenty. How is Jesus the true and better Joseph? because he has gone to prepare a place for us. A place that he will bring you. And by God's grace, your whole family. To the table of the greatest feast that will ever exist. To live an abundant life with him in heaven. Jesus truly is the better Joseph. When Joseph's brother saw that father was dead, he died at old age on land with his sons and his sons' sons. They said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil we did to him." They're still in sorrow over what they have done, even though they've been blessed beyond measure, even though they've been taken care of more than they ever thought they could. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave us this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for I am in the place of God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I'll provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. Jesus is the true and better Joseph. In that God not only provided a way that we could be saved from our sin by Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, but he adopted us into his family as brothers and sisters. And he has forgiven the transgressions of his brothers and sisters and their sin, who have all done evil to him. His brothers came, fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." And Joseph said, "Do not fear. Just as God has called us to come and bow down and worship him, as he has brought us from being servants of the evil one to being his servants, his sons, his daughters, his adopted family, who will dwell with him for eternity in the place he has prepared for us." Jesus truly is the true and better Joseph. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts to the marrow, even to the bone. And God, where you have laid conviction on our hearts for areas where, God, maybe we're not sorrowful for our sin, would you bring us, by your loving kindness, to a sorrow that brings about repentance. And God, will you forgive our transgressions? Will you unite us as a people of God? God, will you keep us aware that Jesus is the hero? And God, he who you made a slave, you also exalted to the highest name, the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, for your glory. God, as we now enter a time of worship, may we bow down before the one who has been so merciful for us when we didn't deserve it. God, we thank you for the picture of Jesus and the story of Joseph. God, may we worship you now in spirit and truth for your glory, in the name of Jesus. Amen.